Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You are back on Bad Gays. And look, I've got a very, very special guest. I don't know if I would consider him bad. He's kind of a goodie in these terms. It's Thomas Bleach here on the phone with me. Hey, Tom. G'day. Good morning.
Hello, how are you?
I'm not too bad. I don't know why I just put on a very Aussie accent. That's so not on my brand. I'm going to eliminate it straight away. Hey, we were just talking off here a little bit before, and we were saying how you're literally an open book, and I love that and respect that so much. I feel like there's a lack of open books these days.
Yeah, 100%, and that's kind of why I wanted to do like the project that I've done, because I feel like people don't talk openly about things anymore, and we're all so scared of what people think because of social media. And I was like, I'm just gonna like get this all off my chest and just talk about stuff.
No, for sure. So the book is called Damaged Goods. Why this title? It's so impactful yet so simple at the same time. I really like it.
Yeah. I mean, it was just like a feeling that I was having. I was going through a really bad breakup, and I just was like, everything in my life leading up to that, I was always felt like broken, and I just wasn't good enough. And I was like, I just feel like damaged goods, like no one's going to love me. And it kind of just stuck, like, you know, after using that word, I was like, yeah. And I was like, you know what, we're all damaged goods, because it's a part of human condition. It's a part of being human, in the sense that we all go through heartbreak, we all go through hurt, we all go through all these things. And it's learning to like turn those negative thoughts into positive thoughts, because we grow from them. So I am it just kind of clicked to me straight away. And Damaged Goods is like, it's the perfect title, because it is kind of like self-inflicting, but it's also self-motivating as well.
That is so wholesome. I'm so about it. Yes, 100%. Now, you've done an innovative modern-day take, I call it, on the book, where you're releasing a chapter a week. Now, what possessed you to do this? I think this is so... It's like a Netflix show, a trendy one, but no, it's we're doing like a book version. This is awesome. Tell me about what made you want to do this.
It was... I had started writing the book, and I was probably like 4 chapters deep, and I'm really bad. So when I'm like by myself, I talk out loud, because that's like how I kind of like
get
my
idea. We're literally the same. Like, yeah. Just a psychopath.
I was like cooking dinner. You know, I love it. I was like cooking dinner, and I was like speaking this idea out loud. I was like, okay, so like, how am I going to do this? And I kept questioning. I was like, who's going to read this? Like, what readership do I have? Like, if I was to get this published, like, who would read it? And it kind of kept clicking to me, and I was like on public transport, like every day looking at people, and everyone, like 80 to 90% of the people had their phones out. No one had books. Like, there would maybe like be like 2 people per carriage that had a book.
Yes.
And I was like, if I want to connect with people, I've got to modernize everything. And like, you know, how do I consume books? And, you know, like, I have in front of me right now, I've got like 15 books that I've bought online to read.
Uh-huh.
And I've read one of them, and that's it. Like, I don't read them because, you know, because we're constantly on the go and we don't take our books with us. So, like, you know, how do you kind of consume it otherwise? So that's why I was kind of looking at how I wanted to do it in a more modernized way, and how do we connect with people? Because some people will connect with the book, and then other people will connect with the imagery that I've got with it, you know, with the photographs or the playlist. And there's different ways for people to kind of get that feeling that they want from it as well. So I kind of wanted to tackle all different mediums. And it was that kind of like Netflix idea of, you know, like, how do you break it down to like one chapter a week, so it's more consumable for people, just like how Netflix does with the TV shows.
Yeah.
Instead of releasing them all at once, they're doing, you know, the weekly, so people are actually watching it and getting
committed,
excited to read it.
Yeah, they're subscribed. You could say, yeah, all those, yeah. No, I love it. Now, I'm aware that you're a stand-up comedian as well, and I argue on a daily basis that that's probably the hardest job that there is to do. Tell me about how you started with the stand-up stuff, or how that came about.
And the stand-up stuff came at around the same time that I started writing the book. So I was writing the book, and I had all these stories. And, again, it was a part of, like, telling stories in different ways. So that's, like, whole Damaged Goods is about, is, like, you know, about telling negative stories, like, negative experiences to positive ones and growing. Mm. And yeah. I kind of found that there were funny things that you could talk about that you probably wouldn't put in the book. So I was kind of like, there's all different ways to tell these stories, and there's so many different ways that people can relate. And I found the comedians that I love, like, I love Jen Kirkman and Chelsea Handler, and they're very, like, self-inflicting. And, you know, they draw from their real life. And I thought it was just such a cool idea to kind of tell these stories in a comedic way, because it's going to relate to some people that probably wouldn't read the book.
Right.
And there's people that would read the book and still find it really interesting because it's told in different ways. So I started, like, in the Brisbane comedy scene probably around 2.5 years ago now.
Whoa.
Just started doing shows. I was doing, like, 2 shows a week.
Must have been good.
I was just, like, always, like, so busy, like, doing stuff. And I was like, nah, I'm going to do little shows, like, once a month now. And so I've just been doing, like, little pop-up shows where I perform with other comedians. And now we're doing the full headline show, which is my first full-length 45-minute show. So
And this is going to be in Brisbane in honor of Pride Month. That's very exciting for you guys up there. Awesome. That's later this month. So any Queenslanders listening, or if you're going to be there around that time, definitely go check that out. It's all on your website, which we're going to plug a little bit later. Now, going back to the book, you explore growing up in a homophobic family. Now, how bad are we talking? Like, how deep into this do you get?
With the homophobic family, it was very much in the sense that, like, it just wasn't talked about. Like, you know, it was just like, well, you would not be gay, like, and I'm like, well, this is who I am. And it was just very, like, internalized through my whole childhood. Whenever there was a gay person on a movie or a TV show, they would make a comment like, oh, gross, and, like, turn things off. Or, like, you know, if there was a drag queen, like, the show would be quickly changed over. So it was always kind of like, it was very internalized. And my dad said to me when I came out, he was just like, oh, I haven't raised you 19 years for you to turn out to be gay. And I'm like, well, ta-da.
Oh, my God.
So I haven't changed the last 2 seconds. And so, you know, they have grown. You know, we've grown as a family. And they soon realized if they didn't support me, then they would lose me. So they had to choose what was more important to them. Was it the ideology that they had growing up, or was it losing their only son? So they have 2 daughters as well, so I have 2 sisters. Uh-huh. But they were, you know, they would lose their only son if they didn't support me. And they quickly realized that, you know, the reason they were homophobic is because they didn't actually have an education about gay people. They didn't know.
Yeah.
And it stemmed from their families. And it was part of, they didn't actually mind gay people. It's just they'd always been told, like, they'd always
kind
of grown up that, they had always grown up with that mindset. Yeah. So
it's this completely different generation, but I definitely agree with you on that note that everyone is able to change. It really, like, disregards, like, your age, any of those factors. I think anyone can change at any point of their life. And I think you'd agree with that statement.
100%. I feel like it just took an education from them. And for them, I guess, like, to have a personal experience to kind of realize that gay people are just all people. Like,
exactly. Mm. Yeah. We might wear a tiny bit more glitter, but that's it.
Oh, 100%. A little bit more fabulous.
Okay, now, on a lighter note, falling in love. Ooh, are you allowed to spill any tea, or is this top secret? Is it just for the book? I'm curious. Your first love?
Yeah, no, I'm so happy to talk about it. Actually, so the falling in love chapter comes out today.
Oh, my God, exciting. Yay.
Yeah, so that chapter's out as of now. It just came out.
And when this airs, it's a week before. Whoops. Anyway, yeah, it's out. The point. No, it's fine. It's fine.
Actually, so then that means that today, when you guys are listening, the broken heart chapter's out. Oh!
So exciting.
Love came to me very later in my life. I was 23 or 22 when I first fell in love.
Okay.
And I had never really experienced it before, and it was a long distance relationship. Yeah. But So he lives in Townsville, I lived in Brisbane.
Whoa.
And I'd never felt this connection before. But there was a few little issues. Like, he lived in a homophobic family himself.
Yeah.
He was not out. And his dad was the chief police officer of Townsville. It was an experience. And he ended up, and that the chapter like is out obviously now for you guys to listen and to read. Basically, he broke up with me while I was overseas. So my first day in America, I was on a trip, and he broke up with me while I was over there. And it was my first time dealing with heartbreak and dealing with all that stuff. And it kind of, that was the experience that actually inspired That Much Good to come as a whole. So I had started writing it, and it kind of came through that breakup that That Much Good kind of found its own sort of thing. So it was interesting, and then, you know, there is more love chapters to come in the book as well, because, you know, love comes more than once in your life. There was a second love of my life. Spoiler alert, it didn't turn out great either.
You know what I love about that, though? Like, it's so realistic. Like, we've all been there. We're all living the same life. Like, we can relate 10 out of 10, so it's all good.
and that's what I wanted people to see. Like, you know, I'm now in a happy relationship, and I'm in love, and I'm happy, which is great. And I've actually got someone that actually cares about me, because my second relationship, again, spoiler, but I think it's so great, because I think the book kind of covers different things. It was actually a very toxic relationship, and it was a very mentally abusive relationship.
Ooh.
So, and it goes into talking about open relationships. You'll have to stay tuned and read that one.
Gonna have to, God. That was, you really spilled the tea there. Almost burnt me a little bit, but I love that. That's good. Now, I want to cover one little more thing. Breaking legs overseas. Please don't tell me this is a brand new metaphor that I'm not hopped on board with yet. Oh, did you literally break a leg overseas? Should I be concerned?
I did. I actually did. And the funniest thing, it was the gayest thing that could have happened to me.
Oh, God.
I broke my leg at a RuPaul's Drag Race viewing party.
Oh, my God. Like, that's iconic.
Yeah, I was lip syncing to Ellie Goulding's Something in the Way You Move.
Okay.
And some guy came out of nowhere and did a flip. Did a cartwheel and knocked me off the stage.
Yeah.
And I fell and broke my leg. So it was literally bowling, and that's... people was like literally gay temper bowling. It was great. I mean, not great for me, but yeah.
Oh my God. You literally could say you died death dropping. Low key, you had a touch of death.
100%.
Oh my God. That's awesome. All right. Well, I absolutely love the website. I love the stories. I love everything. It's so innovative. It's so raw. I love everything about it. Where can people like, they just go straight to your website, don't they?
Yeah. So it's a damagedgoodstory.com. And then the Instagrams and stuff is the same. I think it's just Damaged Goods AU or a Damaged Goods Story on Instagram, and Damaged Goods AU on Twitter. And yeah, like, check it out. And my name's Thomas Bleach, and you can check me on Instagram. Obviously, I promote all that on my personal one as well.
Hell yeah. Well, thank you so much, Tom. All the best. Not that you need it. You're doing great. You're doing fine. But yeah, if you're ever heading down here, we would love to chat with you in person, because I'm sure new stuff is on the way.
Definitely.
But all the best with all this. This is so exciting.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.